From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, July 14th, 2016, and you are listening to Current Sports. We've got a great hour in store for all of our listeners out there on today's show. We will recap what took place last night at the ESPYs. How cool was that? I mean, the ESPYs are by far my favorite award show because not only do you get to honor the greatest athletes in the world, but you also get a few tear-jerking moments that are very meaningful and speak directly to society today. We will recap the best moments from last night's ESPY show. It was awesome, folks. Also, there have been many updates concerning the Draymond Green case. And one of the updates include, of course, the name of the rumored football player that Draymond allegedly hit. We will give you an update on that story, and you will get to hear our opinion on it. And we will invite an inspirational figure, folks. His name is James Burns. He is the man who walked 600 miles from Philly to Michigan Stadium out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, to raise awareness for the Chad Tough Foundation. James Burns will join us live here on the airwaves to talk about that 600-mile journey. And, of course, it's Thursday. So on the back end of the show, we will take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history with Throwback Thursday. That and more. But, hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, of course, folks, we have been giving you all an update on the Draymond Green assault case. Yesterday, we gave you an update on Green offering his first comments about the incident at a tech conference that he was attending in Colorado. Since then, the official police report was released, and Green and now former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson were named. Edmondson, who has been reported to be pushing ahead with pressing charges rather than dropping them as was previously reported, he was granted his release from the MSU football team before the altercation with Green this past weekend. We have the police report and we will bring you details of that report in just a second. You don't want to miss it, folks. We'll have that in the blink of an eye. All right, the opening matches of the Battle for Atlantis, a preseason basketball tourney, were announced yesterday. Now, the Michigan State men's basketball team will play St. John's in their first of three games in 3 days. Of course, the head coach of St. John's is former NBA great Chris Mullin. If the Spartans win, they will face VCU or Baylor in the second round. The Battle for Atlantis will run from November 23rd to the 25th on Paradise Island in Lou Rawls Tum Tum Naren's home state, or I should say friendly confines of the Bahamas. How cool is that? Now, former Michigan State forward Marvin Clark Jr., who transferred to St. John's following last season, will be eligible to play. So we'll get to see Clark play against some friendly foes, if you will. All right, the Michigan Wolverines have renewed their contract with CBS Radio, continuing a partnership while at the same time expanding their hockey broadcast. The new multi-year agreement with CBS Radio Detroit includes their airing of the three sports and a weekly Jim Harbaugh interview across three local stations. Now, the Wolverines did not specify the duration nor value of the contract in his news release, and an athletic department spokesman said he didn't have access to the figures because the deal was a negotiation between IMG and CBS. Now, under the agreement, Michigan football games will continue to be broadcast on WWJ AM 950, with select games simulcast on WXYT FM 97.1. Men's basketball games will also air on WWJ, and hockey games on WXYT AM 1270. a weekly interview with Jim Harbaugh will air on 97.1. The Detroit Lions released their training camp schedules yesterday. The camp, which begins on July 29th at Allen Park, will have the first practice on the 31st open to the public. Now, the camp has just three open practices to the general public, 3:30 p.m. on August 1st, August 4th at 2 p.m., and August 5th at 3:30 p.m. The Lions said the reason for just three open practices was because of the team's joint practices and preseason game in connection with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which will happen on August 8th through the 12th. All right, folks, the 2016 ESPY Award for Best Play was awarded last night to Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers for his last-second Hail Mary touchdown throw to beat, of course, the Detroit Lions. Down by 2 points with all zeros on the clock, the Packers had the ball at their own 39-yard line. They'd received an untimed down as a result of the face mask penalty on the previous play, and they had one more shot to come away with a win over the Lions. Rodgers took that shot and tied in Richard Rodgers. Boxed out defenders and snatched it before anyone had a chance to knock it down. And I love Rodgers at the ESPYs last night when he went up to the podium to accept the award alongside his quarterback Aaron Rodgers. He said he'd like to thank the man above because, hey, without him, you can't have a Hail Mary. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Yesterday, the ESPYs, of course, it aired on ESPN, really had a lot of discussion points, and we'll play probably my favorite moment from the ESPYs in just a second. But to kick off the night, get this, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James took the stage together at Microsoft Theater out in L.A. and all shared statements urging for action. Of course, the message coming after high-profile shootings in Dallas, Orlando, Baton Rouge, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. James, who went on to win 5 ESPYs last night, including Best Male Athlete and Best NBA Player, closed the speech by calling out all athletes to take action. We'll have more on that in just a second as well. All right, new Golden State Warrior Kevin Durant has already accepted his role of villain, talking to ESPN yesterday about his relationship with former teammate Russell Westbrook. He acknowledged their friendship would likely never be the same. Isn't that sad? Durant told Sina Sports, a Chinese news outlet, that, quote, yeah, it's difficult. I'm not used to this much attention, but I'm getting used to it. Obviously, people don't like me right now. But it is what it is. I can't please them all. I've got to still go out there and handle my business, end quote. And hey, folks, the British Open starts today. That's right. The 2016 British Open began today and runs through Sunday. The Open is in its 145th year in Scotland and has a $9.3 million purse. Top golfers like Rory McIlroy, Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson, all competing as we speak. And get this, Mickelson is currently in the lead at 8 under par. We'll continue to give you guys an update throughout this hour on the British Open as the numbers continue to fluctuate. But hey, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. It's time to start the show, and is there really any other way to start it other than this way?
And the way you feel determines how you act. And to everybody out there, we are making progress. Incredible progress. As the Vice President said, the moonshot program, we are going to find a cure for cancer. but we need your help. We must continue to donate. We must continue to fight. And we must continue to do this together. I am grateful to my parents, Coral and Al. They raised me with a positive outlook on life. I always see the glass half full. I see the beauty in others, and I see the hope for tomorrow. If we don't have hope and faith, we have nothing. Whatever I might have imagined a terminal diagnosis would do to my spirit, it summoned quite the opposite, the greatest appreciation for life itself. So I will never give up, and I will never give in. I will continue to keep fighting, sucking the marrow out of life as life sucks the marrow out of me. I will live my life full of love and full of fun. It's the only way I know how. Thank you and good night.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. What a moment. What a show. What a 2 hours last night, folks. Filled with just positive energy and inspiration. The ESPYs are clearly my favorite award show out there. I look forward to it every single year. And the voice that you just heard was that of course, NBA sideline reporter for Turner Sports, Mr. Craig Sager, who just about everyone in the sports broadcasting industry just completely admires. What a tear-jerking moment. Last night, I'm sitting there watching as Craig Sager, you know, he put together this unbelievable highlight package of him battling leukemia and undergoing treatment right before he has to go and report in the NBA playoffs. And there were so many nuggets of inspiration throughout that video montage as he's taking chemotherapy. Again, hours before he has to hop on a plane to head to San Antonio to cover an NBA, you know, playoff series. And then he goes up there and walks up and receives the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance. He grabs the award from the hands of none other than the Vice President of the United States and Joe Biden. Joe Biden has certainly a personal connection to cancer due to the fact that his son, Beau, last year passed away, victim of brain cancer. And really, in an emotional speech, Sager, he thanked his family for their support and spoke at length about the importance of keeping a positive attitude. That was the theme of his speech. That's the takeaway I got, at least, when watching Sager on that stage last night. And it's so remarkable because not too long ago, I read an article in Sports Illustrated as they profiled Sager's fight with leukemia. And it talked about how Sager, when at a certain point throughout this fight with cancer, the doctors let him know that he only had like 3 months to live. And I remember it was headline news everywhere. And, you know, this is in the past, so it wasn't at that moment that he was told, you know, when I was reading the article, that he was told he had 3 months to live. But he was told earlier on in his diagnosis that he had 3 months to live. And he has surpassed that timeline tremendously. And he has just doctors, you know, just floored. Their jaw is on the ground when looking at Sage's fight. And it's really amazing when listening to his words about maintaining a positive outlook on life despite whatever it is that you're going through, whether it be cancer or any other terminally ill disease, whether it be financial problems, whether it be family problems. No matter what you're going through, maintaining a positive outlook, always looking at the glasses half full, is so very important. That's what I try to do every single day I wake up. So, Craig Sager, I want to say thank you for that remarkable speech last night. It's something I will never forget, and I'm sure those who saw it last night, it will stay ingrained in your memory for a long time to come. And again, just to read a quote from that speech, quote, "If I've learned anything through all of this, it's that each and every day is like a canvas waiting to be painted. An opportunity for love, for fun, for living, for learning. I will live my life full of love and full of fun. It's the only way I know how," end quote. What a moment. So not only was Craig's speech, which was my favorite moment of last night, but not only was that a memorable moment, but there were multiple moments, especially at the very beginning of the ESPYs, in which you had four superstars in the world of basketball, and Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James. They started the ESPYs just cold, out of the open, right when 8 o'clock hit. You saw those four standing on the stage, and it started with Carmelo Anthony calling for an end to police brutality and gun violence. I want to play a snippet from the very beginning of that speech from Anthony, Wade, Paul, and James. What you'll hear right now is from Anthony and Chris Paul.
"Good evening. Tonight is a celebration of sports, celebrating our accomplishments and our victories. But in this moment of celebration, we actually start the show tonight this way. The four of us talking to our fellow athletes with the country watching, because we cannot ignore the realities of the current state of America. The events of the past week have put a spotlight on the injustice, distrust, and anger that plagues so many of us. The system is broken. The problems are not new. The violence is not new. And the racial divide definitely is not new. But the urgency to create change is at an all-time high. We stand here tonight accepting our role in uniting communities to be the change we need to see. We stand before you as fathers, sons, husbands, brothers, uncles, and in my case, as an African-American man and the nephew of a police officer who was one of the hundreds of thousands of great officers serving this country. But Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Laquan McDonald, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, this is also our reality. Generations ago, legends like Jesse Owens, Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, John Carlos, and Tommy Smith, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown, Billie Jean King, Arthur Ashe, and countless others, they set a model for what athletes should stand for. So we choose to follow in their footsteps."
Hats off to you, fellas. Great moment. Great moment. And I love how, again, Carmelo Anthony, CP3, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade, how they talked about athletes in past history who have stood up to fight for equality. You know, they brought up, of course, athletes like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown, the greatest, and Muhammad Ali, and countless others who stood up for change because they felt as though here in America, there was a infection of unequal opportunity. So I really commend those four for calling out athletes, and specifically Carmelo Anthony, because Carmelo Anthony was really the guy that spearheaded this whole thing. We talked about earlier, I believe it was last week, I believe it was, where Carmelo Anthony, he put out a call to athletes out there in lieu of course, the killings that we've seen at the hands of law enforcement with Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, which led, of course, to the whole situation out in Dallas with, you know, you had five police officers getting gunned down by one angry African-American male. Not right at all. We've been going through a lot these past 2 weeks here, and I really find it admirable anytime you have athletes who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and take a stand, because we all know athletes of the magnitude of those four, they have a huge voice, they have a huge following, and they have an impact that the normal John Smith just doesn't have. So I commend those four. And I've always commended, you know, guys like Melo and Paul and Wade, and especially LeBron, because LeBron has a track record of standing up for unjust situations here in America. You know, with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, I remember he was the guy who really rallied the troops when he was with the Miami Heat to come out and don those T-shirts. You know, LeBron is not afraid to step outside the box and say, hey, this isn't right. So I really hope that other athletes follow suit. But there were multiple moments other than those two. Of course, you had the Xavion Dobson situation, in which 15-year-old Xavion Dobson, a high school athlete, was killed by stray bullets last year in December, December 17th to be exact, while protecting three young women. His mother, Zenobia Dobson, echoed the player's sentiments of Wade, Paul, Anthony, and James, and pressed for harsher gun laws. Such a touching video tribute in recollection of that sad moment of the killing of Xavion Dobson. And it was interesting how they put that together, too. They used actor Michael B. Jordan's voice as the voice of Xavion Dobson. So that was really a touching moment. Also, Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant, and Abby Wambach, they were also honored with the Icon Award. Of course, Bryant, Manning, and Wambach, they are now retired. And it was very cool as Justin Timberlake came out and introduced those three, and they accepted the Icon Award. That was also a cool moment. And LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers celebrated another big night. They took home the Best Team Award. LeBron James, as I stated, he has ESPYs everywhere now. LeBron James took home the Best Male Athlete Award. And how about, you know, the stars that paid tribute to Muhammad Ali? That was very cool as well. And Chance the Rapper, who I'm becoming a big fan of, he performed a song intermixed with Muhammad Ali's interviews. And he had pictures of Ali throughout his career right in back of him as the song went on. But man, oh man, just what a moment. That was a picturesque way to end the ESPYs. So for those that saw the ESPYs last night, I want to know, what was your favorite moment from last night's ceremony? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, folks, hold on tight, because in just 7 minutes, we will be chatting with James Burns, a man who walked 600 miles from Philadelphia to Michigan Stadium out in Ann Arbor to raise awareness for the Chad Tough Foundation. James will be joining me at 1:30, but before we hit that first break, I have to bring up this story. Of course, we have an update for you all concerning the Draymond Green case. We now know that it is confirmed that the player that is alleging that Draymond Green slapped or punched him, whatever. I've seen both words used now, slapped, punch. Both words are being thrown out there now. But anyway, we know the player for the MSU football team that has been named in this report. And you can call him now former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson. The police report came out, and it's crazy because, you know, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV airs tonight at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV, and I bring that up because right after I finished sitting down with Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr. of the MSU men's basketball team, I got up to my office, and I looked at my phone, and I got a text from Diamond Leung, who is with the Bay Area News Group now. He is a beat writer for the Golden State Warriors. Diamond is a dear friend of the show. He's been on multiple times. He used to work right here in East Lansing covering the Michigan State football and basketball team. So, of course, with him being a Golden State Warriors beat writer, he has been covering the Draymond Green case since the moment it happened. That's all his life has been. So Diamond shot me a text. He's like, Al, do you know who Bianca Williams is? And I'm saying to myself, yeah, that's the girlfriend of Jermaine Edmondson. And I know Bianca. She's a friend of mine. I've seen her around campus. She's a student here at Michigan State inside of the College of Communication Arts and Sciences. And we've been good friends through mutual friends. And he shot that text to me asking that question because, you know, Diamond wanted to reach out to Bianca because her name is all the way through this police report. And Diamond goes on to Facebook and reaches out to her, and he's about to add her as a friend, and he sees that there's one mutual friend that Diamond has in common with Bianca, and that, of course, is me. And I say to myself, no, her name is in the police report? So he's like, yeah, you got to see the police report. So he emailed me the police report, and yeah, Bianca's name is in it. You have, I believe, three police officers named in it as they recount their own recollection of what took place that night in the altercation between Edmondson and Green. And then you have, near the end of the police report, you have a statement from Jermaine Edmondson, which I'm going to read right now. This is what Jermaine Edmondson wrote in his statement to the police. Quote, my name is Jermaine Edmondson, and I am making a statement on the incident that took place last night. Friday, July 8th, I went out to the bar Rick's and came across Draymond Green and two other males that were with him who followed everywhere he went. I was talking to one of my teammates when Draymond bumped into me and said, quote, hey, bro, you can at least say excuse me, end quote. He looked at me and continued to walk to my teammate, asking who I was. I told him, don't worry about who I am. And I asked who he was to think that it's okay to bump into somebody without saying excuse me. He then said, I pray for bleep like you scholarships. So he's basically saying, Draymond's basically saying, hey, I pay for guys like you. I pay for your scholarships, okay? Back to the report. Quote, I then started to say, you had me messed up before I was choked out by two guys who were with him. I was taken downstairs by three of Rick's employees to calm the situation until I heard my girlfriend yell. That's Bianca. So I run over to her to see what was going on, and she said she was choked by another one of those guys who were with Draymond for trying to calm the situation down. This is wrong on so many levels for someone to think that something like this is okay. Me and my girlfriend were both choked in front of our peers, and we couldn't do anything about it. Saturday, July 9th, the night of my birthday, me, my girlfriend, and a couple of other friends went back to Rick's to celebrate and enjoy my night. As the bar was closing, my girlfriend and I went to Conrad's. I noticed Draymond was in there. I didn't pay him any mind until he walks all the way across the line to look my girlfriend up and down and smirks at her. I still did not say a word to him. About 5 minutes later, when everyone is outside, I see my roommate and Draymond talking. I walk over and I tell Draymond that last night wasn't cool. As he responded to me, he began to poke me on my shoulder, and I tell him that he doesn't need to put his hands on me. We can just talk. As I started to talk again, boom, I'm punched in my jaw in front of all my peers and friends. As far as today, I am not feeling the best. My neck and my jaw still hurts, along with the headache that I've had since I was hit. I would like to take further action on this situation, and I am willing to fully cooperate to get this situation taken care of. My number is that's blocked out. Thank you, Jermaine Edmondson. Boy, oh boy, that's a lot to take in, first off, folks. And again, there are multiple accounts other than Jermaine's of what took place in the police report. You are going to get my thoughts on that report after we invite our guest for the show, because I think, personally, that somebody is crying wolf. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. Again, when we come back, we will chat with James Burns, a man who walked 600 miles. That's a long way. From Philly to Michigan Stadium to raise awareness for a pretty cool cause. We'll have that chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we are chatting about the ESPYs. I want to know, what was your favorite moment from last night's unbelievable ceremony? Unbelievable ceremony, folks. Again, you can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Before I hit that first break again, I had just read the statement of Jermaine Edmondson, who now is a former member, that was quick, right, of the Michigan State football team. Jermaine Edmondson played defense for the Spartans, didn't get a lot of playing time. You know, he's not a guy who made a lot of headlines when he was a Spartan. But, you know, a lot of people don't even know this either. You know, because going back to Jermaine Edmondson's tenure here at Michigan State, a lot of people don't – if you remember that loss to Nebraska this past year, Jermaine Edmondson was the defensive player on the play that moved the Nebraska right receiver out of bounds, and the referees threw the flag saying that the defensive player impeded that receiver's motion, and it was a flag on the play that renewed downs for Nebraska, and they eventually beat the Spartans in that game. But that was Jermaine Edmondson on that play that was said to have forced the receiver out. But, you know, so, you know, that's one of the – not many highlights for Jermaine here at Michigan State. And, you know, there was a whole type-up of the reason why Jermaine decided to leave the program. I got an email from actually Ben Flieger, who's in charge of media relations for – Michigan State Athletics, one of the many, I should say. And just to read a quote, this is coming from Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio concerning senior cornerback Jermaine Edmondson being granted a full release to play his final year of eligibility at a different school. Quote, in discussions with Jermaine Edmondson following spring practice and in the weeks thereafter, it became clear that Jermaine wanted to play a larger role on the team. After consulting with him in the summer, he felt it was in his best interest to finish his playing career elsewhere. We have granted his immediate release to transfer to another institution to have that opportunity. So before I go on my spiel here, I want to invite right now our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, what's your take about this whole situation, about what has taken place in the last 24 hours?
Well, I'm waiting to see more details still. A police report obviously includes one statement, or you know, if it includes multiple, it's not Draymond Green's just yet. I'm interested to hear his account of the events. But at the same time, no, I don't think it looks good for Draymond. I've got a problem with that action. I agree with you that maybe it's a little bit hyper-reactionary from Edmondson to file all of these dramatic suits. But at the same time, I also like the fact that he's not bowing down to the rich and famous. At the same time, I like the fact that every single person on campus right now has Jermaine Edmondson painted as the villain because he got slapped. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think that there should be the expectation for Jermaine Edmondson to just let this slide because it's Draymond Green. I think whoever hit him doesn't change the fact that he was hit. Now, you can go your way and you can say,
oh, I have a different, he shouldn't. Yeah. I'm going the exact other way.
You can go your way and you can say he shouldn't tell on whoever hit him in the first place. That's a valid argument. But saying that he shouldn't tell because it's Draymond Green, I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
I'm not going to take that road. I'm going an entirely different road than that, though, Isaac. And I'm not. And that point is not my reasoning. The reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, when looking at, again, as you stated, a high-profile athlete like Draymond Green, in this whole situation, and reading the police report, because I read it about three times, there's just a few things that just don't make sense to me. And I think at the end of the day, I think we have, do we have this bite queued up, Isaac? Just to play it real quick. The neck and back bite. Do we have that? This is just my, just to give you a hint of what's to come later this hour when it comes to my take on this.
Oh, I'm hurt. Oh, my neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh, I want $150,000.
Yeah. That's where I'm going with this whole thing, all right, Isaac?
So. I'm not going to disagree with you there either. It reminds me of a great Arrested Development upset.
Exactly. Folks, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. Well, I tell you what, folks, Chad Carr was the 5-year-old son of Tammy and Jason Carr. Jason Carr, of course, a former quarterback at Michigan, and the grandson a former U of M All-American, Tom Curtis, and of longtime Michigan head coach, Lloyd Carr. Chad sadly passed away last November from an inoperable brain tumor. The Carrs created the Chad Tough Foundation to raise money for research to cure diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, otherwise known as DIPG, a tumor located in a small area of the brain stem. The median survival rate is 9 months from diagnosis. Tough story, and we've talked about it multiple times here on the show. There's one man who saw this story and decided to do something extraordinary. His name is James Burns. James walked 600 miles from Philadelphia to Michigan Stadium to raise awareness for the Chad Tough Foundation. It is truly my pleasure and an honor to welcome James Burns to Current Sports right now. James, first off, thank you so much for taking some time out this afternoon to join us here on the airwaves. And how are you feeling after that 600-mile trip?
Well, I'm doing great. I want to say first, you guys, for the bottom of my heart, thank you for having me on, because you're now giving us another channel, if you will, to spread the word, and just everyone who hears it, it's another person, and it just keeps growing. I mean, trickle-down effect and donations over the last few days has been amazing now that I've actually completed it. I think some people are taking a wait-and-see approach. But as far as how do I feel, I realized yesterday, because my wife and I flew home on Tuesday, and I realized yesterday that I was absolutely wiped out, and I had probably lived the last week on adrenaline alone. I didn't feel 49 years old. I felt like I was 94 years old. But today I feel great. I'm pretty psyched. After I got done with you guys, my buddy and I are heading to the Guns N' Roses concert in Lincoln Financial Field. So it's a great day for me. I can't complain in any regard.
Hey, you deserve it, James, all right? Live it up
Thank
tonight,
you.
My man, all right?
Now, he's my designated driver. That's his gift back to me. He's paying me back for my ticket, and he's my designated driver. So the good deeds continue even after I'm done, let me tell you.
Oh, man, you got to love that, James. Well, I want to start at the very beginning of how this idea came to your mind. How did this idea of walking 600 miles from Philly to Michigan Stadium into your brain? You know, because I know you were sitting back watching an ESPN story, right?
People that know me well would probably tell you I've always been a little bit off. But in this case, I'll share a little bit about myself. It's kind of a multi-level thing here, and I'll give you the 30-second version. In February of 2015, I was shoveling snow in my driveway late at night. My driveway's a hill, and I was coming up it, and I slipped on ice. I didn't see it. I had shovels in my hands. I had nothing to break my fall. I laid on the back of my head. Knocked myself unconscious for several hours, gave myself my 8th concussion. If I had cranial bleeding, I would have died. However, I got through it. I was in medical software sales at the time. I couldn't continue with the gig because there was too much post-concussion crap going on. So I had to leave that career. But I was so thankful I had a second chance in life. I did different jobs, didn't pay the bills and all that, which is cool. And so I decided I got to do something that's really for kids' brains. I didn't know exactly what it'd be. I was thinking it might be concussions. And then I saw the story on Chad the morning of the Michigan-Ohio State game last year. It happened to have ESPN on the TV when I fell asleep, and I woke up, that story was on, so I was destined to see it. And then I saw Tammy Carr, and she touched me like no one had ever touched me on TV. It was outrageous. She's such a wonderful woman, a beautiful soul, and she was so strong. And I said, I know what I want to do. I want to walk to Michigan and help cure that disease. And my wife literally said to me, we better get your neurologist back on the phone. I don't think you're quite right. But true story. Honestly, I then contacted Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where money's going to for this as well, where they do great brain research, pediatric brain cancer research, and also going to Chad Topham. Guys, all I can say is the fact that I did it is not even going to come close to the rewards I got from doing it in terms of how many people along the way. A lot of people from Ohio, I might add, just opening up their hearts to me, letting me stay at their house, paying for hotels, paying for meals. Just the amount of kind souls I met has been taking my life to a level I'll never want to get off of, because it's the greatest feeling anyone could ever have. So I can't thank all the wonderful people along the way that made it infinitesimally more gratifying than I ever imagined that it could be.
That is remarkable stuff, James. Now, you know, but before deciding on, you know, the 600-mile walk from Philly to Michigan Stadium, did you have any other ideas that you kicked around before settling on that one?
No, honestly, seeing the story on Chad and his sad passing and then watching Tammy just touch my heart, it's just like a lightning bolt hit me, and the idea never really was a thought. It was almost like instantaneous, boom, let's walk to Michigan. So I never had a chance to rationally think about it. It just so all hit me at one time that, hey, I went with it. And I got to say, I think it was meant to be, because I swear with everyone that Chad Carlos with me every step of the way, because I told people I stepped in literally hundreds of holes on sides of roads. And if I were doing it just in my backyard cutting the lawn, I'd at least twist my ankle once. I didn't twist my ankle one time. I could say I almost got hit by maybe two cars, and both of them were people trying to make right turns on reds without looking. Nobody on a road where people were going fast ever made me feel endangered anyway. It was meant to be. It was just an experience that I can only say as, oh, wow, I look back, I can't believe I did it, but I can believe I did it, because I was pushed to new limitations that I just overcame. And just, as I say, it literally became a living metaphor of just take the next step. That's all I can say to anybody out there. Don't hold back on anything you want to do. Take the next step. Realize it's going to hurt. You're going to get blisters, but just keep taking the next step. And anything where you have a goal to change the world, you can do it. Because I can't believe I was able to do this. But looking back on it, I actually am thinking about doing it again. That's how amazing it was for everybody involved, I think.
Oh, boy, that's pretty cool. So, well, if you do it again, I will have a camera, and we will be doing a feature on Current Sports TV.
You come down with me. You guys are really cool, man. I'd hang out with you anytime. I wish I knew you before I left Michigan.
Right?
I would love to. But I'm coming back in September.
Okay. So, well, I'll tell you what. You let us know.
I'll look you up.
Please do. Please do, James. And you know what? Talk about that specific journey, because you mentioned how it pushed you to physical limitations like you've never been pushed before. When you talk about that journey, how long did it take, and how many times did you rest?
Okay. I gave myself 5 weeks to do it, and they asked me if I could push it back 1 week at the end so we'd have actually access to Michigan Stadium, because that's really something they don't really let anybody do. So I just feel privileged for that. And so I got there in about 33 days total. So I got there the Thursday before last month. So I got actually to Ann Arbor last Thursday night. So I got to chill out there a little bit at the end. But I was probably, when I actually walked, I'd average about 20 to 22 miles per day when I walked. The most I walked in one day was 33.7 miles. I walked over 25 miles five times. It's by necessity. You'll get in somewhere you think you're close to a hotel, and then you whip open your phone and start hitting Expedia, Hotwire, all those things to get a cheap room, and you find out you still got 18 more miles to go. Like I had when I got over the Michigan border last Thursday, and I realized I had to get to Dundee, to get to where there was a lot of hotels. And I enjoyed Dundee. That was a nice town.
Wow. That's remarkable. Was there any moment where you just looked at it, James, and said, I don't know if I can do this?
It's fascinating you bring that up, because that thought never crossed my mind. Whenever I felt tired or kind of in a position of not doomed, but in not so great shape, it's amazing where you'll go. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. This is early in my trip. I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I've gone 3 days without a shower. I mean, my stink is throwing up over my own stink. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now, I walk by the Evergreen Acres retirement home, and I say to myself, they got to have an empty room in there. I'm just going to walk in and ask if I can take a shower, which, if you think about it, it's a pretty wacky thing to do. So
It is.
I walk into the front desk, and I tell the lady there, and she looks at me half in amazement and half like a WTF thought, if you catch my drift. And then she goes, hold on, I'll be right back. And she goes to get the woman who runs the place. Now, the woman who comes out and runs the place, you can't get a better name than this. The woman's first name is Charity, okay, which I found out a little bit later.
Right.
He looks at me and says, did I just get this story straight? And I said, what, that I'm walking 600 miles? And I said, yeah. She goes, hold on a second. So she goes, hey, Mike, come here. So I'm thinking she's getting this guy named Mike to get this wackadoo out of here. Instead, I see Mike leave. In 10 seconds, he's walking by me with a vacuum cleaner. And I'm like, what's going on? She goes, oh, that's Mike, our maintenance guy. You're not just going to take a shower here. We insist you take a nap as long as you want. When you get up, we will have a hot meal ready for you. So not only did they follow through on all that, when I left, they gave me a meal to go and a $20 gift card. And this type of gratitude just kept happening everywhere. I was in Eastern Ohio. I stumbled into a bar restaurant because that's the only thing you're going to stumble to when there's rural roads, and which I wouldn't complain after walking, you know, for 8 hours or so. So I sit down, grab a beer, and they tell me, hey, this guy heard what you're doing. And I said, okay, he wants to meet you. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I walk over. Guy must be in his 70s. Great dude. And he says, I'm going to buy you the biggest steak in the house, and I won't take no for an answer. I'm like, okay. And then he hands me $25 cash. Next thing you know, they pass around a hat. I've got $112 in the hat, and everybody insists on buying me a beer. Then, because I would have to go another 12 miles to Carrollton, which I really didn't feel like doing. It was getting late. The owner of the bar says, I know a guy right down the road here. He owns a bed and breakfast. We'll get you there. And so they get me there, and when I check out the next morning, they go, you're doing something so phenomenal. This was free. So things like that happened all over the trip when I didn't ask for any of it. People just opened up their hearts. And I just say to everyone out there, if you're sitting around thinking the world's a mean place, you're probably not a good person, because if you do something well, you'll be amazed how much comes back at you. Like, I kept saying thank you to everybody I met because it was such a humbling experience, and all these people kept doing what they did. How can you thank us for what you're doing? And all I can say is, when you're doing something that pleases other people and they give you the gratitude back, it's way better feeling than you can ever ask for in your life. And you never ask for it because you're just doing it because you want to help. And when you realize how much people appreciate it, I'm on a high for the rest of my life. I can honestly say that.
My goodness, what a story.
Again, and I'm talking off your ear. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I didn't know you were fine.
James,
you are by myself. I don't want to talk to you. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, James. We really appreciate. I mean, this is a remarkable story. And folks, if you're just now tuning in, again, we are chatting with James Burns. He walked 600 miles from Philly to Michigan Stadium out in Ann Arbor to raise awareness for the Chad Tough Foundation. And James, I can only imagine what went through your mind when you saw Michigan Stadium on the horizon as you concluded that journey, and I'm pretty sure you were welcomed with open arms from those that heard this story. And I saw some video of you chatting with Lloyd Carr, former Michigan football coach. I mean, what was that moment like? Because I know that you're a huge fan of his.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of sports in general. Like, I'm the ultimate sports geek. Like, when my wife and I were dating, I said, all you got to do is let me love to play around the golf and watch, you know, my NFL on the Sundays and the other sports I like, you'll never have anything to worry about. She said, cool. So I've been a sports geek for all 49 years. My two sons are sports geeks. And so we like it all. And so anybody that, you know, Lloyd Carr, the coaching legend that he is and all that, when you get to meet someone like that, but you meet him where he's so appreciative of meeting me, it's kind of blew my mind. And I even said to him, I said, I'm actually amazed. I'm talking to a guy who knows Tom Brady, and that kind of cracked everybody up. But the little kid in me felt that way, you know? And then he's like, anytime you're in Michigan, you call me up, you got anything. And I'm thinking, if someone would have said to me a year ago at this time, you'll be boys with Lloyd Carr, I'd be like, yo, dude, we better get your brain checked, you know? So it's kind of amazing.
It definitely
kind of amazing
is.
How it all ends up in life.
And I saw that you got an autographed pair of khakis from Jim Harbaugh as well. And
yes, I did.
I saw that Lloyd said that, hey, if you wear those khakis, you can come to any Michigan football game. Are you gonna take them up for that offer?
I can't wear those. I mean, that's like I gotta put that like in a frame, like you would with like a memento that's just something you cherish forever. So I don't think I'll ever wear them. To get Jim Harbaugh signed pants like that is pretty cool. Not too many people can say that. At least I hope not. I don't really care. To me, it was just something really cool. And yeah, I can't wear those pants. I think they're just a decoration at this point.
James, before we get you out of here, I want you to talk about the Chad Tuff Foundation and how much you raised from this walk. And what's the goal? Right. And you said that you plan on maybe doing this whole thing again.
Well, the goal is, I set the outrageous goal of $2 million, figuring that if anyone looked at it, they would think, oh, it's a big deal. I better donate. Now, I know we've been kicking butt lately. It's going to be in the several thousands range, but I don't think we've hit six figures yet, but I think we can. And we're going to keep taking donations through the year, and I got some fundraisers back here in Philly to keep it going. So ultimately, we will hit $2 million, and I think you got about $1.5 in your back pocket, so you could get pretty close.
I wish. I tell you that. I wish.
How about $1.50? There's $1.5 for you you could handle.
Gladly.
Hey, but no, you guys are giving us the publicity you did today. I can't thank you enough, man. It's really cool. But, yeah, I mean, all I can say is keep us out there because – this is building so much momentum. I've gotten so much hits on Facebook from being on, you know, Detroit television now and the Fox and ABC News there and things like that. So we're getting thousands and thousands of more hits per day. We're getting donations a lot. So it's going to turn out to a pretty good number. But I think ultimately from this and the awareness that I hope I'm helping to build momentum towards from this, that we keep building to something where just the national consciousness is greater and then the money just starts coming from so many different directions just because of the exposure. That's really all it needs is the exposure. I think anyone who sees it's going to recognize how valuable it is, even if you just throw a dollar their way, because no kid should die at 5 years old. I don't care what the cause is. And when we cure this one, we'll find another one and we'll cure that one too.
Well, James, when you talk about exposure, you are doing that and more, my friend. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to get you out of here. Again, James Burns made a walk 600 miles from Philly to Michigan Stadium to raise awareness for the Chad Tuff Foundation. When you come back in September, we got to get you back on again, James. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. It was absolutely a blast. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You got it. You too. Thank you, James. Bye-bye. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by bringing you Throwback Thursday, as well as I'll provide my final thoughts on this whole Draymond Green situation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. If you are just tuning in, shame on you. You just missed a fantastic chat with James Burns, who walked from Philly all the way to Ann Arbor. Yeah, to Michigan Stadium to raise awareness for the Chad Tuff Foundation. Of course, Chad Carr is the grandson of Lloyd Carr, former Michigan football head coach. And, of course, Chad sadly passed away last year. He died last November from an inoperable brain tumor. The Chad Tuff Foundation is raising money to help combat diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, otherwise known as DIPG, a tumor located in the small area of the brainstem. James, so charismatic. What an interview, Isaac. That was fantastic.
It was, and it takes so much heart to do that, and you could hear it in his voice. I've never heard somebody, or at least rarely, who was so enthusiastic throughout the interview. Every single question, he was buzzing, and he should be. He did so much for this cause, and gosh, I don't know, the longest you've walked in a day, mine's probably 15, 16 miles, and I think that's pretty darn good.
Wow, you've walked 15 miles in one day, Isaac?
Yeah.
I am nowhere close to that, all right? Nowhere close.
He basically, I mean, he gave himself 5 weeks. He was basically averaging 20 miles a day.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing, right? And for folks out there, if you want to get involved with the Chad Tuff Foundation, you can simply do so by visiting ChadTuff.org. All right. Well, wow. Time flies when you're having fun. Just 4 minutes left in the show. Brief thought. I'll give my extended rant on the whole Draymond case tomorrow, I guess, Izzy. We had a lot to talk about today. But basically for me, I think we have a situation here of an individual in Jermaine Edmondson. First of all, I just, when looking at the police report, I don't understand. We're talking about a football player here. I'm not just letting you slap me, dude, without retaliating. You're a football player. And you know, Bomani Jones of ESPN has been hammering this story when it comes to MSU football players saying, oh man, you got a football player who just got slapped by a basketball player and didn't do nothing? Sad day for the Big Ten. I mean, yeah. He's been going off about it. But I kind of have to side with Bomani with that. I don't get that. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy who said, oh, no, I'm going to press charges. You know what? Second thought, I'm not going to do that. Well, third thought, I think I'm going to do it. I think I want to press charges, and I've been having a headache, and oh, my goodness. I think that sounds like a dude who's crying wolf to me, Isaac. And I think he realizes that, and especially with the situation of him not being a member of the MSU football team anymore, this is a guy who realizes that, hey, this is Draymond Green. This is a guy who signed an $80-plus million contract with the Golden State Warriors. Maybe, yeah, cha-ching, right? Maybe I could get some moolah out of the situation. So,
oh, I'm hurt.
Yeah,
oh,
right?
My neck.
Yeah, can we turn it up?
My neck and my back. Oh, I want $150,000.
Yeah, I think that sounds like Jermaine Edmondson to me. So I'll go on my extended rant, and we'll get to more details of the police report on tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss that. Again, folks, Current Sports TV tonight with Lou Rawls, Tum Tum, Naren Jr., the leader of the Michigan State men's basketball team. It was fantastic sitting down with Tum Tum. It was one of the best student-athlete interviews I have ever done. Tum is unbelievable. So don't miss it, 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Tonight, to end the show like we do each and every Thursday, what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? It is time for Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long. Eisenman
back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there.
All right, so what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? It is July 14th. On this date, back in 1951, the first sports event to be shown in color on CBS TV was the Molly Pitcher Handicap at Oceanport, New Jersey. My, oh, my. We've come a long way. Now everything is HD, right? In 1967, Eddie Matthews of the Houston Astros hit his 500th career homer, and in 1968, Henry Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves hit his, also, 500th career homer. Well, that does it for this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks so much to James Burns, Seth Kinker, and Isaac Constance. We'll be back on tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a fantastic afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.